Welcome to episode 21 of the Your Kids Next Read podcast, in which we talk about books and reading for kids of all ages. I'm Alison Tate, author of middle grade adventure series The Mapmaker Chronicles, The Adaband Cipher, and my latest The Maven and Reeve mystery series. And I'm here with my co-host, the outstanding Megan Daly, celebrity teacher librarian, blogger at Children's Books Daily, and author of Raising Readers, How to Nurture a Child's Love of Books. Megan and I, along with our good friend, author Alison Rushby, are founders of the Your Kids Next Read community on Facebook. Search for Your Kids Next Read there to join us. So, what's happening in the kingdom of Megan this week?
Well, I finally saw Charlie and the Chocolate Factory last night at QPAC in Brisbane, and I'm tired because it was a really late night, but oh my glory, because I'm old, but it was fantastic. Now, look, I'm conscious that many of you are living in lockdown at the moment, so skip forward for about 10 seconds if you want to, or be hopeful about theatre trips to come. But I did want to give it a shout out because it was just so fantastic. Roald Dahl, as we all know, is the ultimate storyteller, and I laughed, I teared up several times. It was beautiful. And I just think we could all do with being transported to a bit of a better place right now. So if you need all of the cheer and a world of pure imagination for a few hours, I feel like you should get along. And I really wanted to give a shout out to the four young men who are playing Charlie, because they're all aged between 12 and 14 or thereabouts. And each show, one of them plays Charlie Bucket and is on stage for nearly a full 2 hours. And I just think that's amazing for young boys of that age. And last night I saw Edgar Sterling in the role of Charlie, and he just sort of was like, I felt fizzing with joy throughout the entire production. It was just gorgeous to witness. I was just in awe of his ability to inhabit the character of Charlie Bucket so perfectly. And I was kind of thinking, I wonder how many times he's read the book or watched the Gene Wilder movie. So I've done a bit of a full review. I haven't done a bit of a full review. I have done a full review, which is on my website, and I'll link it in the show notes. But I absolutely adored it. So that's me.
Well, I'm a bit jealous, of course, because I've been nowhere except my living room and the post office. I have a big daily outing to the post office each day, which is very exciting. But that does sound amazing. I'm always astonished by, you know, I saw Matilda when I was in London a couple of years ago, and it was just extraordinary. And I'm, you know, in awe of these sort of 10-year-olds who are carrying the shot, like there they are with all those lines, and I get a bit worried for them, and then I realize that they're
anxious. I was a bit overprotective about this child I don't even know, because I just thought, oh my gosh, what if the poor kid forgets a line? But it is, they do carry the show, you're right.
Yeah, they do an amazing job. I mean, obviously they have a fantastic support around them and all of that sort of stuff, but there is a lot of focus there. And I remember when I was I was 10 or 11, and I was Alice in Alice in Wonderland in the local production. And now that I think back on it, I think, what was I thinking? But at the time, it just didn't even occur to me that there was an issue. Like I had to memorize the whole book, and that was fine. Yeah. And, you know, then I got up and I did my stuff, and I thought that was great. And, I mean, I wonder if my mother sat on the edge of her seat the whole night wondering if
I am sure she did.
Remember my words. Anyway, I haven't been doing anything as exciting as that. I've started editing a manuscript. I've decided, I think we talked last week about the fact that I, you know, had planned to start writing something new, and I just hit the wall of the book hangover. So instead, what I've done is pulled out a manuscript that I wrote about 18 months ago. And I am working through the edit of that. I'm hoping to get that to the point where it might be my next book, you know, fingers
Fantastic.
Crossed, which is quite exciting. So, you know, that's a good, editing is good under these circumstances, because you're not having to, you know, reinvent the wheel and create from scratch. You've got stuff to work with.
Now's probably not a time where you're feeling particularly creative, so I suppose it's a good time to go back and
I've got lots of great ideas. You know, I'm never short of an idea. I've got this whole section on my computer, which I've been, you know, clearing out, which is just full of different ideas for things and snippets of things and kind of, you know, half baked concepts. And so every once in a while I go revisit that to see if whatever that half baked concept was is ready to go in the oven yet. And, at the moment, I just don't feel like there's anything that's quite oven worthy. So I'm going to edit instead. But I also was sharing this week, quite excitingly. So Bookboy has a local radio show. He has a community radio show with his friend JD. It's called J Squared on Triple U.
Oh, that's so cute. J Squared.
Oh no, they're so funny. You should see their Instagram stuff that they do, because of course they're 17-year-old boys, so they just embrace the ridiculousness of everything that goes with Instagram, you know, to joy. So you can find them at j.squared.uuu if you want to have a look. But yeah, so they do an hour a week as volunteers. Like it's a fantastic thing. They've learned how to do the board. They have these great conversations about the structural integrity of pies and various other things that just make me laugh so much. But they've started doing interviews. And so Bookboy has been lining up all these sort of music industry interviews, and, you know, he records them, he pre-records them, and then they run them on the show and stuff. And he interviewed the lovely Wei Chim this week. And, of course, Wei Chim is a children's and YA author of some renown. And did you see her book, The Surprising Power of a Good Dumpling, has been shortlisted for the Kirkus Award?
I did see that. Yeah.
Anyway, so that was big news. But she was also, you may recognize her name from Survivor. And of course, we watched it as a family because I was obsessed with this notion that a children's author would be on Survivor, you know, at all, let alone do as well as she did, which she did do incredibly well. So he interviewed Wei about, you know, how a children's author ends up sleeping in the dirt for 42 days. You know, like it was crazy. I'll share the link in the show notes because it's definitely worth having a listen.
I'm going to listen because I watched it on Instagram, but I couldn't bring myself to watch Survivor. But I just was cheering her along via Instagram.
No, she was great. She, honestly, like if you ever needed to see the power of a good brain and of a puzzling kind of, like she did a word puzzle. I've never seen anyone do a word puzzle as fast as she did it to win immunity. Like, it was extraordinary.
And well, I'm glad that's her superpower.
Well, me too. I was like, who knew that was a superpower? Because I'm quite good at a puzzle, at a word puzzle. Like, I'm not in her league, trust me. She's like Olympic level. But anyway, enough. Let's move on. Let's talk about our book mail for this week. Have you got anything exciting?
Mate. I know. Actually, the beekeeper keeps saying, please don't call me mate. I'm not your mate. But I just tend to call all the kids at school mate or pumpkin and or dude, and it just comes out of my mouth. Anyway, mate, I have got some astonishing book mail, and in fact, I have got book mail to talk about, I reckon, for the next 6 weeks. I think as we're coming into, dare I say it, Christmas season, the book mail is increasing exponentially, and I have some astonishing book mail. So this week, I'm going to talk about three wonderful books I got. The first one is The Story of Us by Michael Wagner, and it's illustrated by Beck Feener. Now, when I opened this, I was like, oh, I am excited because it is a scrapbook. I love a good scrapbook. I've never been a scrapbooker. Let me just put that out there. Never have I scrapbooked, but I love scrapbooks and recording things. So this is a scrapbook style hardcover book, and it is the absolutely most perfect way to record and share family stories with your children to create a bit of a keepsake book, but one that's really contemporary and fabulous looking, as opposed to some of the hideous keepsake books I have seen in my lifetime, and which do not reflect the chaos and the ups and downs of my own personal life. So this one is a book that your child, probably with you, writes in to create a bit of a family history book. It's the most gorgeous way to capture a moment in time of a family. It would be a beautiful thing to do in the year of like turning double digits or turning 13. If your 13-year-old will sit down with you. Or I reckon I'm going to get four of this book, and I'm going to work with all four of our kids to kind of like mark the occasion of us coming together as a blended family. I can see
this
one.
That's a nice
idea. Yeah, well, look, I occasionally have a good one. And this one has got lots of different family setups pictured throughout the pages. And they're not like labeled same-sex family or step family. They're just pictured, and it's really beautiful. So there's a lot of diversity in gender, in skin color, in religion, age, and in parenting and caregiving. There's same-sex parents and what could be single parents or grandparents who are parenting. So it's suitable for every single family, including my own. So I really think it would be a thing worth doing and a really giftable thing Next up, I have got excitement above all excitement this week. I have got Coco and the Bee by Laura Bunting and illustrated by Nikki Johnson. This is the third book in the Coco and the Bee series. I will read you the blurb because otherwise I will waffle. Coco is... I will. I'll waffle anyway. Coco is loving her new life in Tabby Valley. There are magical seeds to plant in the garden and new friends to make. But when Coco meets a bee and then a boy called Max, Coco realizes that things aren't always what you think they might be. This is the third book, like I said, in the Coco series. And this one, look, I was going to love it anyway because it's called Coco and the Bee and the end papers have lots of glorious bees and chickens. But I was beside myself and may have cried when I opened to the imprint page, my favorite page of the book after the end papers. It's dedicated to me from Laura Bunting.
What?
I know, right?
I've got a copy of this and I didn't even see that.
Could you please turn and have a look?
I will immediately.
Yeah, so Laura Bunting has dedicated to Florence, who I think is her daughter, and to me. And the reason that she's done this is because ages ago on Instagram, I've only met Laura once, but we were talking about bees or Coco or something, and I mentioned to her about my favorite bee being the blue banded bee, and she then went down a rabbit hole of what blue banded bees do. And so she and then I also told her about me having met the beekeeper, and it was just serendipitous timing. She was writing this book, she included the blue banded bee, and there I am, the book. It's so lovely.
So cute.
Yeah, now before I gave it a heavenly review, I got the beekeeper to sit down and read it at the kitchen table and check the kind of like bee science and bee behavior. He was impressed. And I'm handing it on to Len the Legend, his father, who is an entomologist. The beekeeper was very impressed. You've done a great job, Laura Bunting. It is great. You've got the bee behavior correct. You've got the pollination correct. All good on that front. So I'm recommending this one to little readers from like 5 up to 50. 70 even. It's gorgeous and really giftable. Great Christmas present, the three of them all together. Love it. And then very quickly, my third one is Book Nerd by Holly Maguire, which I got from Book Geek, and I will link to them in the show notes. This is just gorgeous. It's a gorgeous book filled with bright, playful, and intricately designed illustrations. I assume she's some sort of a graphic designer. It's got mottos, definitions, jokes, all about the world of being a book obsessive. And my girls, I left it on the kitchen table. I love leaving books like this on the kitchen table. My girls have just adored it. They've taken photos of some of the pages. There's a million post-it notes in this book. Chickpea's favorite page is, "It's not hoarding if it's books," with a picture of a person who is clearly a hoarder. And it's got all these just really, really gorgeous quotes and opening lines of books, and it's just beautiful. Different types of bookends, and Chickpea was most impressed that we had two of the bookends pictured in the book. It's very giftable. It's a tiny little book, but it's just gorgeous.
That sounds lovely.
Oh my gosh, it's so beautiful.
That really sounds like a Christmas present.
I'm going to buy it for the teachers for Christmas, I think. Teachers that I know are real book nerds. And I embrace that book nerd thing, you know.
That's a good idea. Actually, we should do a teacher book gift thing, shouldn't we?
Let's do that. Oh, yes, ooh, let's do that.
Making notes for a bingo question coming up in the future.
Okay, I need to stop. What have you got, Al?
Okay, what have I got? I'm a bit disappointed that you've got such bounty and I only have a couple. However, what I do have, I'm quite excited about.
I'm jealous. I don't have this one.
Well, I have the Illustrated Encyclopedia of Peculiar Pairs in Nature by Sammy Bailey, which is, of course, the third book in her series. Are you a bit jealous? It's so beautiful.
I'm so jealous. Why don't I have that?
I don't know, but it is so beautiful because I don't actually have any of the others. Like, I know that they've been award-winning. I think the Encyclopedia of Ugly Animals won a whole bunch of stuff, didn't it? Yeah. Shortlisted, longlisted, all of that sort of thing. And this is the third one, and this is all about, you know, the rare tick living in the fur of a pygmy possum. And a hand fish
symbiotic?
laying its eggs on a sea tulip. It's
Is it
about those,
symbiotic relationships?
yes, it's about those
Wow.
natural relationships. And I've always been fascinated by
I love
those.
a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. So I've got the barnacle and the grey whale. I've got the blue banded bee and the
You do
climbing
not.
guinea flower. I do. I have that. I have the Canberra grassland earless dragon and the garden wolf spider. Like it's a gorgeous book. It's non-fiction. It's got the description. It's got the peculiar pair, like how they rely on each other. It's got the conservation status, the diet, the location, the habitat, and then, of course, some fun facts. Did you know that the collective noun for a group of spiders is a cluster?
I didn't know that one, and I love collective nouns.
Oh, here's one. Unbelievably, special conservation dogs have been trained to help find these small reptiles, which are the Canberra grassland earless dragons. By sniffing out their scent, the Springer Spaniels help researchers locate them over vast grasslands.
I really need that
You
book.
really need this book. This is just a gorgeous thing. If you have a child who's a young reader who's keen on, on nature, animals, all of that sort of stuff, or just non-fiction in general, or if you just want a book on your shelf that is gorgeous,
Stunning.
then I feel like you should probably get this one, The Illustrated Encyclopedia of Peculiar Pairs in Nature by Sammy Bailey. And then my only other piece that I have this week, which is fun though, I'm quite excited, is the second book in the Mer Tales series. Now you might remember we talked about this one. It's a junior fiction series. And we talked about the first book a few episodes ago. It's by Rebecca Timmis and it's called The Daring Reef Rescue. It's heavily illustrated. It's a lovely one for sort of new readers. I would say
Yeah.
6 to 8, would you
My
say?
grade one and two students are really loving the first one.
And I love I really love the inside cover. It's not quite End Papers, but the inside cover
No, no,
has
it's
an
gorge.
image of a turtle with this mermaising book belongs to, and you can write your name in the front, which I've always loved as a kid. So those are my only other bits of book mail for this week. But it's like it's quality, not quantity, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're moving on. And this week's bingo question, which I love, is and interestingly, it doesn't come up that often, but then it's come up twice in the last week. So I decided that we needed to go forth and have a chat about it. And it was a question in the Your Kids Next Read Facebook community of people looking for books about books. Which of course I love because once you sit down and start thinking about books, novels or non-fiction or whatever that are actually about books or books, within books, there's actually a sizable list of them. And the first one that came to mind for me was a certain book about a book that stars my very good friend Megan Daly. Perhaps you would like to talk about Lucy's book.
I would. Lucy's book is by Natalie Jane Pryor and Cheryl Orsini. It's a picture book, and it would be fair to say I have gifted this book to about 25 children, and various family members, because it is a book about book. It's books. It's a gorgeous book about this little girl called Lucy who just desperately loves this book at the library. She borrows it and borrows it and borrows it. And I can pretty much recite this book. I've read it that many times. But when the book came out, well, just before it came out, Natalie Jane Pryor and Cheryl Orsini contacted me and they were like, we've used you as the image of the librarian. And it is amazing. So Cheryl Orsini had looked at some of the dresses that I wear on Instagram and she has illustrated me in some of my favorite dresses and some of my favorite ruby olive necklaces and bangles. And it's got the pink stripe in the hair that I've always had. And it's just beautiful. So I am the image of the librarian and it is just the most beautiful book celebrating books and libraries. So I adore it and it's highly recommended.
Queen of like appearing in books. So you're in this one, and then you've
Oh,
got the dedication today in the other one.
it's all about me.
Of course it is. All of it's about you. But on the subject of I also have a book about a book, and it is actually one that I wrote myself, called the
No.
Adaban Cipher series. It's the Book of Secrets and the Book of Answers. And both of those are about an amazing illuminated manuscript, which is all written in code. And our hero Gabe has to keep this book safe. And of course, half the book is all about trying to work out what this book is all about and why is it written in code. And so I, as someone who has always been, I would probably love a copy of the book nerd book. One of the inspirations for the Adaman Cipher, there were a few things that inspired it, but one of the inspirations for it was I went to I have been twice to see the Book of Kells in Dublin at Trinity College, and I've been twice over the different years because they only open a page a day, so I've seen two pages of it. And one of the things that inspired the Book of Secrets, the Adaman Cipher, was the feeling that I had when I stood in front of that book, and the feeling that I had when I stood in front of that book was that I just wanted to reach through the glass, put it in my bag, or mind you, it's quite big, so I would have needed a sizable bag, and just take it home with me. I just wanted to have it. It is so beautiful, and it was almost visceral, that feeling of wanting to possess that book. And so when I was writing the Adaman Cipher novels, I really drew on that feeling that I had, because those illuminated manuscripts are extraordinary works of art, and they are the kinds of thing that you do just want to pick up and take home with you. So that was my book about a book in a funny way. It was inspired by a whole range of other things as well. And I can put a link in the show notes, I think, to me talking about, what the inspiration was.
You best
but
do it, that.
I will do that. But if you are a person who loves books, you will understand that visceral feeling that I had when I saw that book. And I think it does come through in the Adaban Cipher. And someone else who understands the joy of a book about a book is our dear friend Alison Rushby, whose novel for last year, her most recent one called When This Bell Rings, is also kind of about a book within a book. So I'll read you the blurb of this one just so I can keep it less waffly than my own version of the Adaban Cipher. In London's Belgravia, Tamsin lives next door to Edie St. Clair, famous author of the London of the Bells series of graphic novels. With the series' 10th and final novel overdue, Tamsin offers her idol help and discovers that Edie can literally draw herself into her stories. When Edie goes missing, Tamsin draws herself into the novel and lands in a world of unexpected danger. There, Tamsin discovers that Edie needs her more than she could have realized. Only she has the power to write the perfect ending to this story. But the perfect ending will come at a great cost to all. So there you go. It's a true book within a book. Very, very clever. Alison Rushby is very, very clever.
Yeah.
So I also have some recommendations from the Your Kids Next Read community. And we had books like the Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury. We had the Pages and Co. series. We had Ban This Book by Alan Gratz. The River and the Book by Alison Croggan. The Book Scavenger by Jennifer Bertram. The Library of Ever, which I haven't heard of this one, and its sequel, Rebel in the Library of Ever by Zeno Alexander. So a whole bunch of books there. I would also add Inkheart by Cornelia Funk, which is it Funk or Funk? I'm going to say Funk, which Book Boy read and absolutely loved when he was about 10, I think. And also, of course, The Book Thief by Mark Zusak, which he also read when he was probably 12 or so, and really, really loved as well. But I'm sure you also have more.
Yeah, there's a few more from the Your Kids Next Read community that I love. The Thursday Next series by Jasper Ford, and my dad and I were obsessed with that series. It's an adult series, but a teen could read it. Has Book Boy read those?
I don't think so, no.
Fantastic. We've both seen Jasper Ford speak a number of times, my dad and I, because we just love Jasper Ford. Mr. Lemoncello's Library, which I really like.
Book Boy loved that.
Yeah.
My loved that.
Love that.
Yeah.
Juno Jones by Kate Gordon, which is a fantastic series and just so funny. Lots of illustrations for sort of middle primary. And the Word Hunters series by Nick Earls. Now, I'm going to add to that list as well, and this is going to be a super long list in the show notes. Parsley Rabbit's Book About Books by Francis Watts and David Leggy is, like, apart from Lucy's book, my all-time favourite book about books, because it takes you through what an end paper is, what an imprint page is, the different parts of a book, and it's about a little rabbit called Parsley and his brother Basil, and it's fantastic. It explains what books are to a young audience. And then they came out last year with It's a Story, Rory, which explains what story is, and it's fantastic. So highly recommend those ones for libraries, but also for home use. And whenever I see Parsley Rabbit come back into print, I purchase a few more copies. I don't know why I'm stockpiling them. Then I also love The Incredible Book Eating Boy by Oliver Jeffers. I love A Child of Books by Oliver Jeffers as well. Dog Loves Books by Louise Yates is gorgeous. It's a Book by Lane Smith. The Children Who Loved Books by Peter Canavas always makes me a little bit weepy. I adore everything he writes. The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lessmore, Library Lion, How to Read a Story by Kate Messner, I Hate Books by Kate Walker, which is out of print, but I love it. And another book about bears by Laura and Philip Bunting. So that's my very long list.
Well, which we will, of course, put in the show notes, which you will find at yourkidsnextread.com. We will have the full list there with links to more information. And don't forget, we also have a page at Booktopia, a Your Kids Next Read page at Booktopia, where we have all of the books that we mention in the show as well. We're trying to make it as easy as possible for you to find them, because I know a lot of you are out there trying to scribble down things as we're talking. And given the speed at which we speak, I feel like, you know, we try to make it as easy as possible for you.
Yeah, go to the show notes.
Go to the show notes. Yourkidsnextread.com. All right. Now let's move on to our quick tips. I'm going to start. No, I'm not. You're going to start. With,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to give you, let you go first, because
all right,
I've forgotten
I'm
what
going.
I was going to say.
Okay, you go have a look at that. I'm going to talk about what to gift with books, because I've talked about a few very giftable books today, and we've talked about books. So I thought I would share what I gift with books. Not that a book alone is not, you know, the perfect gift, but I do find my children, are a bit like, why do we always have to give books? And I've spent years calmly saying that books may not be the most exciting gift on the day, but they are the ones that will last, and no one needs more plastic in their house. And now that the beekeeper and I are a Brady Bunch, we now gift honey with the books, which works a treat because it combines our two passions in life. But I've had to start saying this to the small bees now. You know, why do we always gift books? But they're on board with it at the moment. So none of what I'm talking about is sponsored. There's a couple of companies that I have affiliate links with, but I just really love them. Now, if I can think of an obvious add-on to a book gift, I tend to purchase like 5 of the book and whatever item it is that I've found, and then I keep them as gifts. Like with Parsley Rabbit's books, book about books, I've gifted that one to a lot of toddlers and kids who are maybe in prep or grade one. And I had some really cute library card brooches and little things that I from Book Geek that I would gift with that book. And I had quite a stockpile of that for a while. All of the 5 to 8-year-olds in my life are getting Coco and the Bee, quite clearly, along with some beeswax wrap kits that I've purchased from a local company, and also some honey from the beekeeper, obviously. And I've done over the years craft books with craft items. I've done Pig the Pug books with pug necklaces, because pugs were very in at typo for a while. I did a patch from scratch, which is one of my favorite gardening picture books, with gardening gloves and organic seed packets from the Diggers Club. And I've done for years now cookbooks with wooden spoons and cool cupcake liners. So that's kids book gifts. For adults, I love Book Geek, and over the years I've purchased library staff gifts and many friends gifts from this small business, which also happens to be a lady startup. And at the moment I'm loving their Pemberley candle and their Charles Dickens candle tin to gift with a book. And I like their range of book bags. At the moment I've got a great one that says Raised by Libraries, which I love. And I also, lastly, have a very soft spot for earrings. And if you follow me on Instagram, you will know that I have a ridiculous earring collection. And I love a Brisbane-based company, Ruby Olive, and they do amazing studs for pops of colour. And I've taken to matching book covers with earrings and necklaces for friends. And you'll see quite a few of these on my Instagram around Christmas time. I found a gorgeous pink necklace last year from Ruby Olive, and I gifted it with a book that had a similar coloured cover. So I like to coordinate my books with my accessories. And I also, for adults, went through a stage of gifting Middle Eastern cookbooks, which I was heavily obsessed with. And I would make Middle Eastern spice rubs and gift it with maybe rose or orange flower water as well. So that's me. That's my kind of like quick tips for gifting books with a little add-on.
I'm impressed with your level of detail and focus in this area.
Oh, look, I really like it. I also really like wrapping gifts. It's just a thing. I think it's a librarian thing. I like to see them all lined up on the...
I think it is a librarian thing.
Not you, Al, is it?
Not really. Like, I've started watching, what is it, Making It Australia? We started watching that this week because I think there are two people, types of people in the world. There are people who craft and there are people who buy, and I am one of the people who buys. So I'm fascinated by the whole crafting thing. I'm so not crafty, but anyway, that's a whole nother podcast episode. But I think it does feed in a little bit to my quick tips this week because, and making it does as well in a funny sort of a way. But one of the things that I think, lockdown has shown us, and I think that the last couple of years is that, screen time with kids is on the rise. And we're all at currently, in New South Wales, we're looking down the barrel of 2 weeks of holidays, which are very similar to the last 10 weeks that we've had already, at home. And it's not easy to get kids off screens, and it's not easy to get them, to kind of be creative, I guess, because one question I do get asked by parents a lot when I do different workshops and school visits and all that sort of thing, kids have incredible imaginations, and I see it just in an author talk. I hold up a tiny box and I say, "Tell me what's in this box. We're going to create a story." And they will come up with the most extraordinary things that will be, inside this box that I picked up at a Thai restaurant, 10 years ago. But they will often not really then do that much with them at home. And parents will be like, "How do I get my kids to write? How do I get them off screens to create?" So I've got some sort of tips for getting kids to create instead of consuming. Because the answer, I think, always comes in three parts, and I know that this is something that it's often difficult to get to because you have to get beyond the fighting that often comes with boredom. But boredom
Absolutely.
does fuel creativity. Once you can get beyond the fighting, and into the calm waters of no one's doing much at all, you will actually find that kids will start to look for ways to entertain themselves. And that is when they will start to draw, and that is when they will start to write, that is when they will start making movies. I've been clearing out my computer ready to, transfer it to a new one. And I have discovered, in the sort of archives, just like full feature, like bits and pieces of full feature length movies that my boys have created in our backyard, in full outfits and the whole bit, and it's because they didn't have anything else to do. They had an iPhone and they shot movies with it, The other thing I always sort of say to them is that when you write or you create or you draw, you control the whole world. You create everything. You control what goes on the page. You control what goes in the movie. You control, what's in the drawing. And the other thing is that creativity needs tools. So my five tips for parents who are looking to encourage creativity in kids are that they For the first one is to let your kids be bored. Like, you have to actually endure the "I'm bored, I'm hungry, I'm, whatever." And I know that that's not easy when you're trying to do other things, which, we all are at the moment trying to work at home. But you have to, like, take the screens off them and let them be bored. And that is when you will actually see them start to do things. It's hard, limiting screen time is difficult. Saying no when they just need one more minute to message a friend or do whatever is not easy. And you will be the worst mum in the world, there is no doubt about it. But or dad. But it's a really important and the only way to encourage that first tip. Because if there's something on tap for them to do, even if they're not particularly interested in whatever's going on social media or whatever at the time, or YouTube, they will do that instead. They will sit there and consume. And I have seen what Mr. 14 is consuming. And it's like, "Oh, are you kidding me? This is so boring." My third tip is to talk to them about their ideas or even just what they're reading. Like, even if they're kind of like only like vaguely delving into a book for 5 minutes a night, ask them about it. Like, ask them what they're reading, ask them what they think about it. Because if you do that, then you get to kind of find out how you can encourage them to do other things. And you will find that they're often going into areas that you didn't realize. Like, I discovered that my older son, had discovered poetry when he was about 13, and he discovered it because of the John and Hank Green podcast. Like, it wasn't because I'd been giving him books for 100 years. It was because John and Hank Green had talked about Philip Larkin on a podcast, and so he decided that he would then go and look for them. you know, like look for these poems that they were talking about. So, you know, like talk to them. Like you don't have to know anything about Philip Larkin or, you know, the rugby union players that they're reading about in their magazines. You don't have to know about them, but if you ask the questions and listen, and if we value their thoughts and ideas, they become more confident about expressing them. The fourth tip is to give them a reason to do something, like even if it's a matter of like looking for, like as I say, like when you write something, you control the whole world, and to me, that's a good reason to write. But maybe you need to look for a short story competition, or look for an art competition, or something. Encourage them to create something for something. So a lot of kids need a reason to do something, and once they get started, they will then, you know, it'll will branch out into other things. Encourage them to keep a journal, or, you know, even if it's just like sticking pictures in a scrapbook or something, that will just get that part of their brain working in a slightly different way. And then my fifth tip is always to give them the tools that they need. Like if you want them to draw, make sure they've got, you know, a good selection. I don't think there's anything, I do not draw, but I still think that there is nothing nicer than a new set of
Of
pencils or a
pencil.
new set of texters or something like that, or a coloring book, or, you know, try to like look at where their interests lie and just leave things around, lying around the house where they might then, you know, pick them up, because
Yeah, I do that a
you
lot.
need the tools, you need the stuff that's there. You need the stuff to be there when you're ready, and I think that that's really important. So those are my five tips for encouraging creativity in kids, and I will actually I have created a blog post about those, so I will put the link in the show notes at yourkidsnextread.com. And that pretty much brings us to the end of our
TED Talk.
podcast, our TED Talk. Thanks for tuning into our TED Talk today. Our waffle TED. So what are you up to this week?
Well, speaking of screen time, the teen is about to start a 2-week ban on all
Oh.
screens due to misdemeanors.
Oh dear.
But I just had to do it.
Yep.
And she is one of those kids, exactly like you've just talked about, that when I take every device off her, and I mean take them off her, Alison, and lock them in the lockbox. I
Yeah.
own two lockboxes. I'll link them in the show notes. People always ask me about them. I have to lock them away, and then I have to hide the key or wear it around my neck. When I take everything off her, she starts already today. She's been doing some watercolor painting. She started making a book nook. She loves a glue gun. I mean, glue guns, my gosh, glue guns are fantastic. You can do anything with a glue gun. And so when I take everything away from her and she is bored, and we all have to sit through, everyone in the house has to know, there's going to be some yelling. Once we have moved through the boredom yelling and the I am not a fan of you, mummy, we move into the creative
Yeah,
phase. So yeah,
yeah.
we're just about to go through that first bit, the yelling, and then by tomorrow I think we're entering the creative phase actually today already. You know, there's nothing else to do but be creative.
Well, that's right. And that's kind of, I mean, sadly, that's almost what you need to do. There's
Yep.
nothing else to do. You have to
Yep.
go and create your own fun. What's it going to be? Do something. I have to say, though, on the note of the glue gun, there is no way. There is no
Why?
way that I would do glue guns in this house. Oh,
Why?
because I would find poor procrasty pup glued to the front wall or something. Looking quite bemused, I would imagine.
I thought you were going to say because of accidents, because they're quite dangerous in it's very hot glue. But I always say to my kids, you only burn yourself once on a glue gun. You only get that big blister once. So, you know.
Oh, I did. It would just be like
They
I'm
embrace the
sure that Mr.
enthusiasm.
14, Book Boy Junior, would come up with some incredibly creative uses for a glue gun, which I'm not really quite willing to go down that
You're
road
not
as
up
yet.
for it.
Well, I'm going to be doing much the same thing as I've been doing for the last 10 weeks. We are entering holidays, and I'm encouraging a lot of bushwalking. I'm encouraging a lot of creative dates with bushwalks and beach walks and a lot of that kind of stuff. You know, I'm saying to the boys, you're allowed to see your one friend, go see your one friend, because otherwise, like, we're all just going to be driving each other, you know. round the bend, let's face it. And apart from that, I don't think I've got anything too exciting to add. So I guess that means we must have, you know, waffled our way to the end of yet another episode.
Thank you for listening, because, you know, we get all of our waffle out and then we start the week afresh.
We do. And remember, you'll find us on Facebook in the Your Kids Next Read community, and you'll find all our show notes at yourkidsnextread.com. It's been an absolute pleasure waffling with you again, Megan Daly. Look forward to next week.
See you later.